Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
And welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. So, lovely listeners, if you've been listening to our podcast for a while, you'll know that we love riddles. And we want to hear from you. Send us some of your favourite riddles, but don't tell us the answer. I want to see if I can guess it. And I've got a riddle for you from a very famous writer. His name is Jonathan Swift, and he wrote one of my favourite stories ever, Gulliver's Travels. I hope you get to read the book when you're a bit older. It is a very important story. So here is Mr. Swift's riddle, and I'll tell you the answer next episode. Are you ready? We are little airy creatures, all of different voice and features. One of us in glass is set. One of us you'll find in jet. T'other you may see in tin, and the fourth a box within. If you should the fifth pursue, it can never fly from you. Ooh, tricky, isn't it? I might have to leave you a clue during the week. But let me know what you think the answer is, and you can do that over on Patreon or in our Facebook group, or send me an email at emilydragonflytales@gmail.com. And I'll give you a shout out if you get it right, but no cheating. So speaking of shout outs, we've got some. We have two new Patreon members. So here's a shout out to Gibson. He turned 9 in May and he loves Dragonfly Tales. Gibson lives in Delray Oaks in California. Hi, Gibson. Thanks for listening. Next, we've got a shout-out to Asher from Michigan. His favourite episodes are the Ragnarok series and Thor's Wedding, so I think he likes Norse myths. Me too, Asher. Also, his birthday's coming up in February. Hi, Asher. Thanks for listening. We will also have birthday shout-outs coming up for our June babies soon. So if your birthday is in June, come and let us know over on Patreon. We've also got a whole new story just for members, so go and check it out. Now, listeners, my story is from Scotland. It's a very old tale that can be traced back to the Orkney Islands. They are beautiful islands way, way up to the very north of Scotland. You can still find evidence of prehistoric people who lived on the Orkneys in the Neolithic Age. And the wildlife there is said to be amazing. I'm hoping to go there very soon, as I've never been. And I think I might have Scottish ancestors. This story is full of magic and fairies, and you know how much I love fairy stories. So I think we should start a long time ago in ancient Scotland. A long time ago in ancient Scotland, there lived a king and a queen who had just got married. The king had a fair-haired daughter called Anne, and the queen had her own daughter, a dark-haired girl called Kate. The two girls were stepsisters, but this isn't Cinderella. They weren't mean to each other at all. Quite the opposite. They loved each other very much. But the Queen was very jealous of Anne, the King's daughter. She thought she was prettier than her own daughter Kate, which was a silly idea, for they were both fine lasses. Nevertheless, the Queen began to fill with jealousy. Her mind was always spinning like the sails of a giant windmill. Anne is far too pretty. If a prince came here to visit us, he'd surely choose Anne over my daughter Kate. And then the king would give them the whole kingdom, and me and my ugly daughter would get nothing. It really was nonsense. But the queen tossed and turned and fretted and paced until one day she decided to do something about Anne, to spoil the girl's beauty. The queen went to see a local henwife, an old woman who tended chickens in the village. It was said that the henwife knew about magic potions and spells. The henwife didn't like the queen very much, but she was poor, and the queen offered her a shiny gold coin in return for a spell that would make Anne ugly. "Oh, very well," said the henwife. "Send the lassie to me early in the morning, but make sure she eats no breakfast. No food or drink must pass her lips, or the spell won't work." So early the next morning the queen woke Anne up. "My dear, the cook has run out of eggs. Go at once to the henwife in the glen and ask her for fresh eggs." So Anne got up, yawning. She got dressed and headed downstairs, but as she went through the kitchen to the back door, she saw some lovely crusty bread. "Mmm, delicious," she thought as she munched it all the way to the hen's wife cottage, where the chickens were scratching and scritching in the yard. "Hello, the queen has sent me here for fresh eggs." "Oh, come in, lass, come in. Now, you see that big pot? Lift the lid and look inside." Anne lifted the lid and stared into the pot. "It's empty. Can I have some eggs now?" "Drat! Oh, it didn't work. Here, take these eggs to the queen and tell her to keep her larder door better locked." And she shoved Anne outside. Funny old woman. Anne took the eggs back to the palace and told the queen what the henwife said. "Drat," said the queen, "she must have eaten something." So the next morning the queen sent her for eggs again, but she marched her straight through the kitchen and out the back door. "But I'm hungry." The young princess walked to the henwife's cottage and she passed some country folk picking peas by the roadside. "Hello. Oh, they look nice and fresh. Can I help?" So she chatted for a while and picked some peas with them and then went on her way, munching a handful of fresh peas all the way to the henwife's door. "The queen sent me for more eggs, please." "Yes, yes. Now, come in, come in. Lift the lid off that pot and look inside." "It's still empty. Is that supposed to be something in it?" "Drat," said the henwife. "Shh, here's your eggs. Tell the queen the pot won't boil if the fire's away. Now out you go." But what does that mean?" The queen was very angry, and on the third day she took Anne to the henwife herself, making sure she neither drank or ate anything along the way. The henwife bowed to the haughty queen, who grinned wickedly. "Your Majesty, welcome. Now, girl, princess, lift the lid and look inside." Anne did as she was told and lifted the lid. She peered inside the pot. It seemed to go down and down and was swirling with smoke. I can't see the bottom. Just a little longer. Anne's whole head was inside the pot when Anne pulled out her head and the Queen screamed. What have you done to her? Well, you said to make her ugly, said the henwife. No, no, no. I meant give her spots or blotchy skin or warts. You've given her a sheep's head. It was true. Princess Anne now had the head of a curly white sheep, with sad brown eyes, a woolly snout and muzzle, and two tiny horns. The Queen rushed poor Anne home to the palace. The servants screamed when they saw her. They dropped trays and fell downstairs in surprise. The King was horrified and began to howl and howl. Oh, what is to become of her? She has a sheep's head. Hide her away where no one will see. Anne was locked away in the tallest tower. The King was too sad to visit. The Queen was too guilty to look at her. Only Kate went to see her sister. She stroked her woolly head as Anne bleated sadly. There, there, sweet Anne. There, there. Oh, this is no life at all. We might as well run away. In fact, yes, let's run away and seek our fortunes. We may even find a way to break this horrible spell. When dawn was breaking the next day, Kate packed a bag for them both, and she dressed her sister in a long cloak with a fine velvet hood that hid her sheep's face and head. Then they crept from the tower, out through the palace gates, and off towards the mountains. They walked and walked all day up into the mountains. The two girls rested by a stream and ate the bannock bread in Kate's bag. Then on they went down the mountainside as the sun began to set. They spent the night sleeping in a huge tree. It wasn't very comfortable. And the next morning off they went again. They passed through village after village, marketplace after marketplace, crowded with people. Anne held Kate's hand tight and pulled her hood down low so no one would see her sheep's head. They passed through the last village and up the next mountain until they reached an old castle. Night was falling now and they were tired and hungry. Kate knocked on the gate and a guard opened. Good evening. I am Princess Kate. I've come from a neighbouring kingdom with my sick sister. Please, may we beg a room for the night? The gate opened and the two girls were escorted into the castle. As they entered, Kate felt a great sadness in the place. All the servants moved slowly, their heads bowed and heavy, as if carrying some great trouble in their souls. The rooms echoed with sorrow, and it seemed as if the colour was drained from everything, the paintings, the tapestries, the grand furniture. At last they stood before the King of the castle. He sat on his great throne, looking tired and grey. His eyes seemed red from weeping. At first, he didn't notice the two princesses.
Yes, yes, of course you may stay, but you must not stay long. One night only. This is an unhappy place. Strange and terrible things occur in the night. I would give all my gold to the one who could set it right.
The king began to weep again and did not notice them any more. The two girls were taken upstairs by the head servant and shown into a beautiful guest room. You can sleep here tonight, but best be gone tomorrow. This is not a happy place. What trouble hangs so heavily here? The servant lowered her voice to a whisper. Oh, it's the young prince. He is cursed with a terrible sickness. He sleeps all day and does not wake. And in the night, strange and terrible things occur. People vanish. Yes, vanish, I tell you. Anyone who stays in his room all night with him, by morning, they're gone, never to return. The doctor vanished first, then servants one by one. Oh, all of them gone by morning. Anne began to shake under her cloak. Kate squeezed her hand. Is your sister all right? Here, let me take your cloak. No, said Kate. Thank you, no. We'll be fine here. Tell me, the king said he would give gold to someone who could heal the prince. Is that true? The servant looked worried. Oh, missy, I wouldn't try. Best have a good night's sleep and be on your way tomorrow. Sleep tight. You're right, Anne. Who could sleep tight here? But with gold, we could seek a way to break the wicked spell on you. The king promised gold to the one who could heal his son. I'm going back to the king. The king shook his head. Dear girl, we've tried every manner of potion or remedy, tried charms and spells, we've consulted with doctors, and nothing will cure my son. I fear if you stay in the room, you will vanish too. But Kate insisted. She would stay with the prince in exchange for some gold. And so reluctantly, the king agreed. Kate was brought into the prince's bedchamber. And when she saw how pale he was and how deeply he slept, she felt very sorry for him. When the servant left, she tried everything to wake him up. Hey, you, wake up! Nothing. Hello, wakey, wakey! Still nothing. She tried jumping up and down on the bed. Still nothing. So she tried tickling him, pinching him, splashing his face with water, blowing in his ear. But the prince slept on, trapped in the deepest of sleeps. Then Kate noticed his feet. They looked very sore, all red and swollen. How could they get like that if all he did was sleep? She was just trying to figure this out when the clock above the fire struck midnight. The prince sat bolt upright. Then he climbed out of bed and put on his jacket. His eyes were open, but he didn't see Kate at all. He was in a strange trance, as if he was sleepwalking. Kate followed him out of the room, down the great staircase. Why did no one else wake up? Were they under a spell too? She followed the spellbound prince out to the stables, where he saddled his horse and jumped upon it. Quick as a flash, Kate pulled herself up behind him. He didn't even notice her. And just in time, for the prince called, "Giddy up!" And the horse raced out of the stable and off into the night. Through the greenwood the horse cantered as the moon shone down through spectral branches. Kate saw that the trees were heavy with hazelnuts, and as the horse rode by, she grabbed handfuls of nuts and filled her pockets. "I'll take these back to dear Anne, if ever I get back." They rode on through the forest and out of the other side until the horse slowed in front of a huge green mound. And Kate knew at once what it was. Can you guess? It was a fairy hill. The prince drew the horse's reins and called out, "Open, Green Hill, open wide. Let this young prince come inside." Now, Kate knew a little about fairy rules, and so she quickly shouted out, "And this young lady who's along for the ride." There was a rumbling and a cracking, and the green hill began to open. The prince jumped off his horse, and Kate slid off the back. She crept behind the prince as he walked into the fairy hill, and then she heard the ominous sound of it closing behind them. The prince entered into a magnificent hall filled with dazzling light and beautiful music. Kate hid in the shadows and watched as the prince was surrounded by shimmering fairy maidens in flowing dresses. They led the prince to the centre of the hall and began to dance with him. At first, he seemed to enjoy himself, dancing and spinning around the hall, but soon he grew tired and tried to sit down. But every time he tried to rest, another fairy whisked him back to the dance and spun him round and round. The prince danced and danced until his feet were sore and red and swollen. But the fairies would not let him stop until the hill began to open. And the poor prince hobbled towards the entrance, and Kate slipped out behind him. He pulled himself wearily onto his horse, and Kate clambered up behind. Back to the palace they rode. When the castle servants came into the prince's chamber in the morning, there was the prince fast asleep in his bed. And sitting by the fire, cracking hazelnuts, was Kate. When the king found out she had survived the night, he begged her to tell him what she had discovered. "I can't tell you. I know what's wrong. I just don't know how to make it right. Not yet." The king offered her more gold if she would stay another night and find out. She agreed, and back in her room, she told her sister Anne everything. "He's under some sort of fairy spell. Every night he goes inside this fairy hill and dances and dances until he can hardly walk. That's why he's so exhausted and sleeps all day." "Yes, of course I followed him, but I was careful to ask permission to enter. You know what fairies are like. They hate rudeness." "I don't know how to break the spell. I think I'll have to go back with him and see what I can learn from the fairies." "Oh, don't be scared, dear sister. I think the fairies know I was there. And for some reason, they let me go. Who knows, if I go back, I may find a way to break your spell too." On the second night, Kate followed the prince exactly as before. Again she gathered nuts from the trees, and again she was sure to announce herself at the fairy hill. This time, when she was inside, she crept a little closer and hid behind a velvet couch, listening to the fairies chatting, while the prince was forced to dance and twirl.
"Oh, he's such a bonny prince. Just two more nights of dancing and he will die in the mortal world and be with us forever." "Oh, yes, he'll dance and dance for all eternity. Oh, where did the wee babe get that wand? She's too young to play with a rowan wand. Give it here." "Oh, leave her be. That wand's only good for breaking silly curses anyhow, like duck's feet or sheep's heads."
Kate had to cover her mouth so she didn't squeal out. Sheep's head curses. She looked behind the group of fairies, and there was a little fairy babe sitting on the floor,
playing with an old twisty stick. A Rowan wand. I must get it. But how? Kate looked around. All the fairies were watching the poor prince leaping and twirling on the dance floor. So she reached into her pocket, took out some nuts, and rolled one over toward the baby. The baby didn't see it. Drat! Kate rolled another nut right up to the baby's knee. It dropped the wand and picked up the hazelnut, munching and crunching. Kate rolled another one right past the baby and it crawled after it, leaving the wand behind. Quickly and quietly, Kate crawled over, grabbed the wand and crawled back near the shadows by the entrance. When the cock crowed, the prince rode home with Kate behind. She ran straight to her room and touched Anne's head once, twice, three times with the Rowan wand, and the horrible sheep's head melted away. And there was her sister Anne's bonny face, just as it was before. Anne threw her arms around her beloved sister. Oh, Kate! Kate, you did it! You broke the spell upon me! But what of the poor prince? Will the wand work on him? Kate looked down at the wand, but it began to shrivel and rot until it was nothing more than dust in her hand. It seems not. I must go back a third time. With her sister cured, Kate knew she had no need of the king's gold, but she now dearly wanted to save the young prince, who was paler and weaker than ever. He was hardly breathing at all in his sleep, and Kate knew he would soon die to the mortal world and join the fairies forever. At midnight on the third night, the prince rose as before. Kate followed him, leapt onto the horse, and together they rode the greenwood. When she had plucked some more hazelnuts and put them in her pockets, she clung tightly to his thin waist, knowing that this could be her last chance to save him. Once more the prince danced and twirled in the great hall while Kate watched and listened from the shadows. She spied a very young fairy child with a little willow basket. The girl kept opening the basket and looking inside. Just then, a tall fairy came to her and said, "Put the basket down, little one. Don't let the prince see. If he eats three bites of the bird inside, it will break our spell."
"I won't show him, Mama. I'm just looking."
"Very well. Then come and watch him dance." The fairy mother swept toward the dancing, but just for a moment, she seemed to glance into the shadows. Kate could have sworn the fairy looked right at her. But then she shimmered away and joined the others. "I need that basket," thought Kate. She took some nuts from her pockets and rolled them, one, two, three, past the little fairy girl.
"Oh, hazelnuts!"
She dropped the basket and went chasing after the nuts. Quick as a flash, Kate darted from the shadows, grabbed the little basket, and returned to her hiding place until... Back at the palace, Kate and Anne stood at the foot of the prince's bed. He had fallen into his bed exhausted, and now he was so deep in sleep, he almost looked dead. "Three bites of the bird inside, that's what the fairy said." Kate opened the little basket and took out a strange, tiny bird.
"It's not moving. I think it's dead," said Anne.
"Well, we best prepare and cook it quickly." They plucked the feathers from the tiny bird and roasted it over the fire until the room was filled with the most delicious smell.
Suddenly, they heard a voice from the bed.
"That smells delicious. Can I have a taste?"
The prince's eyes were open and looking straight at Kate. She quickly brought the cooked bird to him and held it to his pale lips. He nibbled it hungrily and then pushed himself up on an elbow.
"That really is delicious. Can I have another bite?"
The prince took a second bite and sat up on his own.
"Oh, can I eat the rest of it, please?" And he put the whole of it in his mouth, crunched it, and swallowed.
Kate and Anne watched in astonishment as the prince's face turned from pale to purple. His cheeks puffed up. He began to open his mouth and out flew the little bird, alive and chirping. It flew once around the room and then flitted out of the window, off into the morning sunlight. The prince leapt out of bed, his face fresh and restored, his cheeks rosy and his body strong.
I'm awake. I'm not dreaming. And you are here. The lady from my dream. I rode so many nights alone and could not stop the dancing. But then you came into my dream to ride with me, and I knew the dancing would stop and I would wake up once more.
When the servants arrived, they found Pretty Anne sitting on the bed and Kate and the prince sitting by the fire, cracking hazelnuts together and roasting them. The three of them were smiling and laughing. The king and everyone in the castle were overjoyed. Light and laughter returned and filled every room. There was a huge feast to celebrate the prince's recovery. And Kate and Anne were the honoured guests. The sisters danced and danced. The prince, not so much. He'd done enough dancing for the time being, but he was very happy. They all were. And so they remained ever after. The end. So, listeners, did you like that story? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit of this fairy tale is definitely all the threes. Let me see, three visits to the henwife, three taps of the magic wand, three bites of the bird, three visits to the fairy hill. Can you find any more threes in this story? So that's it for this episode. Remember to have a go at Mr. Swift's riddle, and I'll have another story coming soon. You can also find a brand new story, The Frog Princess, over on Patreon. So ask a grown-up and come and join our club for more story fun. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll have another story coming soon. But until then, what does a nut with a cold say? Cashew! Bye!
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod and follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.
Cashew!
T- Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.